please turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 7 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. By the way, we are going to have a baptism after church down in the junior church room. So we don't have room for a baptistry upstairs. So we'll baptize downstairs. But I just wanted to make you aware. So I've been adjusting the service so we can still get out at the normal time so we can do that. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And again, let's read this passage responsively. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but forth to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd use the preaching of the Word of God today to help us. Lord, so many needs, so many problems, and so many things that we face in life. And Lord, as our world just gets screwier and screwier, we need this today. I pray that you'd help us learn more about the abundant life today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. All right. I need your minds today. I know that's a scary thing to ask for, but I need you to think with me this morning a little bit. This is not going to be one of those sermons if you drift off in your mind or zone out for a little while. You might get lost, so I'm going to try to keep it simple, but you need to get the foundation to get the actual truth today. As you drive around town, as you go through other towns and things, you see churches with signs that say, teaching on the abundant life. Let's have an abundant life. And usually when we think of the word abundant, we think plentiful, bountiful, more than you can handle. And I don't know about you, I've had about all the life I can handle. It seems like the longer I live, the heavier it gets. Somebody said that the golden years aren't what they're cracked up to be. And haven't got there yet, but I'm about halfway there. But let me say this, I'm not against the term. It's a biblical term. But when most people teach on the abundant life, they preach it the wrong way. They preach it, well, you just trust Jesus and all your problems will go away. And you got financial problems, you go to church and read your Bible and God's going to take all your financial problems away. That's a lie out of hell. Amen. You can go to church and disobey God in your finances, and you can obey God in your finances and still have financial troubles. You just have to understand something. That's part of life. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, first, you need to see that there are four different forms of life. This is where I need your minds, all right? First of all, there is such a thing as plant life, all right? Y'all know what that is? Grass, weeds, corn, beans, taters. Dug my taters yesterday, you know. It's not real smart to go out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and dig potatoes when it's 150 degrees outside. I got to water my garden where the potatoes were from sweat, but about the only time I had there. But there is plant life. Then you have animal life. That's all of the little critters running around, my wife's beagle. It's the rabbits, the horses, the cows, it's the livestock, it's the birds, it's all of the animals on earth. Then you have human life, all right? That's us. By the way, I'll get into that. Did you know that a plant can't become a dog?
Right.
Did you know that a dog can't become a human?
Right.
I don't care how many clothes you put on it. Ain't no clothes going on my dog, all right? God gave that dog all the clothes it needs. You can't cross from one life form to another. We use the words DNA. Did you know that the DNA from a plant cannot cross into the DNA of an animal? Let me show you what I mean. How many of you have had salad in the last 7 days? Raise your hand. Or a vegetable. All right? Guess what? The DNA from that plant did not go into your DNA. It didn't cross. Just like the DNA from an animal can't cross into human life. Did you know you can't take your blood and give it to your horse or your dog and it work? It will not work. And vice versa. You can't take animal from a blood and give it to a human being because the DNAs won't match and it will not work. It's physically impossible. Now, by the way, can't take it from a monkey and give it to a human either. That proves we're not monkeys. All right? Then, so you have plant life, you have animal life, you have human life, and then there's such a thing as spiritual life. All right? Spiritual life is that which is our spirit in the spiritual world, so to speak, the hereafter. By the way, did you know that human life doesn't have the DNA to get to spiritual life? Your spirit has to be reborn by the Spirit of God.
Right.
No matter how hard man tries, he can't reborn his spirit by himself. That's why works won't get you there.
Right.
You have to be, the Bible uses the word regenerated, regened, regeneticized by the Spirit of God. And so you have plant life, you have animal life, you have human life, and then you have spiritual life. Now, by the way, humans are not mammals. Mammals are animals. We don't have the same DNA as a whale. We don't have the same DNA as a monkey. We don't have, they're totally different. If you took a blood sample from any animal and put it up against the blood of a human, they can tell you automatically by the DNA exactly what that is. Most of the time, they can even tell you what gender it is. So I say that to say this. There are four different forms of life. You have plant, you have animal, human, and spiritual. Now, I want you to see something that will... And by the way, you can't change from one life form to another.
Right.
Now, we use a term in the medical field. If somebody goes into a coma or they have just lost everything but their actual physical life, we call that they're in a vegetative state. Well, that means this. They're not really doing anything. They're not really there, but their body is still alive. You all know what I'm talking about? Just like a plant. Did you know a plant feels nothing? When you step on the grass, it doesn't say, ouch. Now, you say, that's silly, preacher. I know it's silly, but so many times... By the way, that's why these people that... Well, I'll get into that in a minute here. Getting ahead of myself. Now, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Now, just because you get saved does not mean you have abundant life.
Right.
When you get saved, you have everlasting life. It means your life will live forever and your spirit has been reborn. And if you die, you'll never go to hell no matter what happens.
Amen.
And you have everlasting life, but it doesn't mean you have abundant life. It means abundant life is available to you, but it does not mean that you actually have that abundant life. Now, God made man threefold, just like God was. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Your body, that's this flesh, that's this house that encompasses everything. Then you have your soul. That's your ability to communicate with everybody else. That's your personality. That's your mind and the ability to work with each other. That is your soul, all right? Then you have a spirit. Your spirit is that which allows you to communicate with God.
That's good.
All right? So you have a body. That's this carcass right here. Then you have a soul. That's the ability to communicate with each other. And then you have a spirit. That's the ability to communicate with God. And back and forth. By the way, that's why this book doesn't make sense to a lost person.
Right.
There's no spirit to help them understand it.
Right.
Until they get saved, it doesn't start making sense.
Right.
Good night, I've been saved 44 years, and there's times it doesn't make sense. But you still keep going because we're not as spiritual because of our sinful flesh.
Yeah.
and our sinful soul. All right? Now, when we get saved, God makes abundant life available to us. It's kind of like going to a buffet. Did you know most people don't eat everything at a buffet? You go and pick and choose what you want. You know, you get over there by the boiled cabbage, and I walk right by it. Get over there by that nasty stuff, and, you know, you get, you know, anything that smells that bad and feels that slippery shouldn't go down the hatch. All right? Now, you get to the chicken livers, and I'll pile them puppies on there, and some of you will walk right by them. Now, wait a minute. In other words, we pick and choose what we want. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If you went to Golden Crow this afternoon, no two plates will probably look the same unless the same person filled them up both times. Because we all have a little bit of different taste. We have the ability to get everything there, but few of us will choose to get something of everything there. And the abundant life is much the same way. It's made available to you, but you have to appropriate, you have to choose that which you use in your life. Now, listen to me very carefully. So, you have physical, you have a soul or a mental life, you have a spirit, which is a spiritual life, and there is another type of life, which is eternal life. Okay, not everlasting, but eternal. Can I tell you something? Until you appropriate all four, you don't have abundant life. That term that you might have life and have it more abundantly, in other words, you can have more of the forms of life available to you, and as you start adding them to what you're doing, your life starts becoming more and more and more abundant. And until you add all four, you don't have the total package of abundant life. Now, your body, that's physical life. Did you know, I taught a whole series, and I don't even remember how many lessons, probably 20 or more, on making biblical sense of our senses. God gave you your senses to enjoy physical life.
Yes, sir.
There are certain things that God gave you to enjoy, to smell. There are some things that are not as pleasant. You say, why? Because God wants you to stay away from those things. When the roadkill's sitting there and it stinks like it's been laying in the sun for a week at 100 degrees, God gave you your nose to say, don't go close to that. Or like the other morning, somebody hit a skunk on 45 out near my house. I didn't see it, but I smelled it before I got there, thinking, I should have gone a different way. That was ripe. Thinking, glad that didn't hit my vehicle. Now, wait a minute. So God gave us things to enjoy. Did you know God made food for us to enjoy?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. God made those things, the physical part of life, for us to enjoy. Now, then there's the mental. That's the soul. The ability. Did you know God made it to where God wants you to enjoy communicating with people?
Yes, sir.
We ought to enjoy coming to church and fellowshipping with one another.
Amen.
We ought to enjoy reading a book, depending on which book it is. We ought to enjoy thinking. Now, that's a foreign concept to some. But God wants us to enjoy the mental portion of life in things. Then there's the spiritual life. That's our ability to communicate with God. And God wants us to enjoy that. Brother Stoltz, could you shut that? I don't want to bother anybody else that's in the building here. Welcome to being in a public place, amen. But God wants us to enjoy spiritual things. Did you know God wants you to enjoy the preaching of the Bible?
Yes.
Did you know God wants you to enjoy the Bible? I was reading my Bible this week and started laughing at one of the stories. I was reading about Balaam. To me, that is one of the funniest stories in the whole Bible. Guy riding on the back of a donkey, and donkey crushes his foot up against a rock, and the donkey starts talking to Balaam, and the dumb Baptist preacher starts talking back to the donkey. Now, I hate to tell you something. My dog starts talking, it's over. Okay, gun's coming out. We're putting a bullet in that thing's head. He ain't going to talk back to me. Now, she tries by looking at me. But if it starts physically talking to me, you know, this isn't Dr. Seuss.
Right.
But here's a backslidden Baptist preacher talking to a donkey. And I mean conversing back and forth. To me, that is a funny story in the Bible. Did you know that God wants us to enjoy soul winning? Did you know you're supposed to enjoy seeing people get saved?
Amen.
I thank God. Just a week or so ago, Josh and Ruth Ann were here, and I was out soul winning. I went and visited somebody who's in our church. They had a family member. And I went and knocked on their door, and I got to win them to Christ.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? That was exciting.
Yes, sir.
Got back to my truck, and Josh says, "Dad, look here." I thought, "Were you texting while I was talking to that fella?" I said, "I'm going to slap you, boy." And he said, "No, look. While we both had our heads bowed and eyes closed, and I was winning that man to the Lord, Josh took a picture of it."
Amen.
And, wow. That was pretty neat. I enjoy those things. Those are spiritual things to enjoy. But wait a minute, there are eternal things. Do you know there are some things that are eternal that we're supposed to enjoy? Did you know heaven is there for us to enjoy?
Amen.
And please don't take this the wrong way. The process of death and the hole that it leaves behind is not good. And can I tell you something? Heaven gets sweeter each and every day. Rhonda? Heaven gets sweeter, doesn't it? Just about a month ago, month and a half, almost 2 months ago, Ray went there in a truck accident. But can I tell you something? Heaven's forever. And heaven is eternal. And the more we learn about it, the better it comes. Can I tell you something? This word right here is eternal. You better learn to enjoy that book right there, because it's probably the only book you're going to read in heaven.
Yep.
Some of you are saving up for eternity. Can I tell you something? I want to jumpstart on it.
Yes,
we ought to learn that book. Now, here's where things get to the sermon. Eternal life is more than a quantity of time. It's a quality. Eternal and everlasting are two different things. They both mean forever, but one is just a lineage or a timeline that just goes forever. The other is the quality by which you enjoy the everlasting life. So, God says, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it more abundantly. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to go from enjoying physical life to where then you just enjoy a mental life or a soul life. And then you don't leave that and go enjoy spiritual life. And then eventually when you die, you enjoy eternal life. God said that we can enjoy all four of those things at one time, and that's what the abundant life is. It's enjoying all four of those life types in our life now as we live, and enjoying them all at the same time. We're enjoying a little bit of spiritual life by being at church, but here in an hour, hour and a half, when I get home, I'm going to enjoy the physical life by eating lunch. Now, some of you are eating lunch in your mind right now, and you're stealing your spiritual life. I don't even know what I'm having, but it's going to be good. I don't care what I'm having. What she feeds me, I will swallow. It doesn't matter. But may I say this? God doesn't want you to leave one to go to the other. And he doesn't want you to live one more than the other. He wants it balanced in your life so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Now, any one area of this life that we live that's out of balance, I'm going to use a word here, and it is in the purest sense, we pervert that part of life. We live in perversion because God intended us to live all four equally all the time. Let me show you what I mean. Nobody in here is guilty of this. The bodybuilder. You know, the guy that lifts weights and sculpts his muscles out, and you know, you see every line and all the definition and things. Thomas, don't smile. I'm not talking. There's a difference in bodybuilding and getting a big body. All right? I'm building two, just around the middle, though. But they pervert life. They are so focused on the physical life that they can't do anything else for the most part. Every part of their life is based on what they eat is in reference to their physical life. What they do is in reference to their physical life. And they're so concentrated on the physical life and that their life is perverted. And by the way, I think it's ugly. But that's neither here nor there. That's my preference. But somebody that is so wrapped up in their beauty, the Hollywood scene, everything they do is about their beauty, these models and different things. They live a perverted life because they're so focused just on the physical life. Now, by the way, don't get mad at me. Most of your sports and athletes are this way too. They live their whole life for one sport. And by the way, they're perverting their life in the process. Most of them, after they retire from sports, don't do much. Matter of fact, a lot of them get in trouble. A lot of them die poor. Because they don't know how to do anything but what they did to get to where they were. And they've so focused on one part of life. Now, but at the same time, you take the average reclusive professor at the university, they know how to teach their topic. They live in books. They live at the library. They live in study for about the topics by which they teach. But they couldn't carry on a conversation. They couldn't go to the Dairy Queen and enjoy a blizzard if they wanted to. They couldn't go to church and enjoy a church service with somebody else because it's not in their area of study. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever see a picture of Einstein? It is said of Einstein, and supposedly he had one of the highest IQs ever recorded, but Einstein was so smart, and yet he couldn't find his way home. He had to have somebody walk him to and from the universities where he taught because he didn't have enough sense to know. And by the way, he never combed his hair. He didn't believe in combing your hair. And if you ever saw a picture of him, you'd believe that. He thought it was unhealthy. It would pull on his scalp, and the scalp might ruin his brain, so he didn't do it. That's how they think. Some of you don't have to worry about it. Amen, Brother Barnes?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Now, at the same time, that's by the way, that's a perverted life. Now, listen to this. You take the theologian or the nun or the monk that's reclusive, studying in a building somewhere, and all they do is pray all day long, and they abstain from all the other enjoyments of life. That's perverted as well.
Yes.
Now, I'm not making fun. I'm just showing you they don't have life and have it more abundantly.
Yep.
God said, I made all of these different things for you to enjoy, and I made them for you to enjoy all at the same time so that you could have an abundant life. Now, did you know we're supposed to enjoy a walk in nature? We are. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with walking down, going out in the woods and walking in the woods or wherever you want to take a walk. You ought to enjoy it. You ought to enjoy the flowers.
Yes.
And the trees and the animals, and especially when you're sitting in your tree stand looking at them through your scope.
Yes.
But God wants you to enjoy those things. But at the same time, he wants you to be able to enjoy your food. If you've ever had a bad cold and lost your sense of taste, food doesn't become as important to you anymore. Brother Barnes, will you quit pushing him off the chair? Good night. Now, wait a minute. I think that we ought to be able to enjoy our food.
Yes.
I really do. I don't think it's wrong for you to sit down and enjoy the food God has given you. And for you to sit there and say, well, there's people in Africa starving. I shouldn't enjoy food. Okay, don't enjoy it. I'm going to.
Yes.
I'm not in Africa. I'm here.
Yep, right.
I'll do everything I can to help everybody I can help. But when God put it in front of me, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yes.
But God also made you to enjoy the mental things of life. You know, God wants me to enjoy talking to my sweetheart. And I do. God wants me to enjoy talking with my children and fellowshipping with them and being at church and fellowshipping with you. God wants me to enjoy that as much as he wants me to enjoy my lunch this afternoon. And he wants me to enjoy that as much as a walk outside. And God wants me to enjoy that as much as he does the Word of God.
Amen.
Something that will live forever.
Yep.
Now, God made it for us all to enjoy. You don't have to go from one realm to the other, to the other, to the other. And it's not like you're going up a ladder. It's all available to you all at once.
Amen.
You're not climbing a ladder to get to these different levels of life. It's all available to you all at one time as a smorgasbord, a buffet, and you can buffet your body. You can buffet your mind. You can buffet your spirit. You can buffet... pizza time. Glory to God. I'm enjoying the physical life. All right. Now, God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Now, let me break it down and I'll show you what I mean and we'll be done. God wants you to have physical enjoyment and physical pleasures in life.
Yes.
He does. Did you know there's nothing wrong? God made your body to enjoy this life. If you go back to that series I was talking about, God made our senses in the same way he made his senses. When man sinned, we perverted our senses and we began being led by our senses. But did you know we're supposed to enjoy the smell of a rose? We're supposed to enjoy, I'm supposed to enjoy the perfume that my wife wears?
Yes, sir.
It's not for you to enjoy, it's for me to enjoy. He made bread to smell good when it's bacon.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he made bacon to smell good when it's bacon.
Yes.
I cooked about 3 pounds of bacon and 3 pounds of sausage yesterday for men's prayer breakfast. I got here and my wife says, "You're tormenting us. The house smells like bacon." I said, "Well, pray not many people show up and there might be some left." Now, there's just, when you come home from work and the house is smelling like dinner already, there's just something about that you go, that smells good. Now, wait a minute. He made our taste buds.
Yes.
He made certain foods to taste good. Now, why some don't taste good to others, I don't know. But that's our individuality.
Yes.
And just because I like something that you don't like doesn't mean it's bad. Because there's things you like that I don't like that may not be bad, just not what I'm going to eat. He made things to enjoy with our eyes. Did you know we're supposed to, I was out this morning and saw the sunrise. By the way, for those of you that don't know, it comes up real slow. Okay? Real slow. Some of you think just God switches it on when your eyeballs wake up, but no, it comes up real slow. He wants us to enjoy the beauty of life. I was out the other day and was driving, saw a doe with a little fawn that was with her, and I enjoyed watching it, thinking, please grow up fast. Enjoying those things and enjoying the different things that beauty, by the way, I'm supposed to enjoy the beauty of my wife. I'm not supposed to enjoy some other person's beauty. God made her for me.
Amen.
We're to keep our eyes to that which is ours to enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? He made our ears to hear beautiful things, not nasty things. He wants us to hear things that are good. That's why he gave us good music. That's why he gave us good topics to talk about. By the way, I don't think we ought to be talking about nasty things all the time. And be careful how much news you listen to. I'm for staying up a little bit, but some of us get depressed because of all the negative that we hear all the time. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know that God made you to enjoy the love of your family? I'm supposed to enjoy the love of my family.
Yes.
Got my daughter home for the summer. Praise the Lord for that. And I didn't get to the church as early as I normally do the last couple Sundays. I've only got her back home for a few more weeks.
Amen.
Decided I was going to bring her to church. So I stayed at home, worked for a couple hours this morning. brought her in for the bus. Say why? Because I'm going to enjoy her. Don't have her much longer. Some toe-headed idiot's going to take her away probably someday. Matter of fact, I even took her up to see the toe-headed idiot the other day in Baltimore. Ay, ay, ay. But can I say something? I'm going to enjoy it. When my kids were here a couple weeks ago before they went to Florida, moving from Kentucky to Florida to be an assistant pastor down there, they were here for about a week. I enjoyed being with them. I enjoyed my daughter-in-law more than my son, but, you know, you learn to enjoy them. You know, we're supposed to enjoy our family. I enjoy being at church. I enjoy being around you all. I really do. I look for... I get here early on Sunday morning. Sometimes I'm walking around and praying at every chair. I'm saying, God, would you hurry that clock up and get everybody here? I am so ready. Say why? Because I can't wait to be with everybody. That's what it's all about. And God made those things for us to enjoy. And by the way, this shouldn't be the only part of life we enjoy. Or we're perverted. Some people live only for the physical. Hollywood is perverted.
Yes, sir.
It's only based on the physical. The sports jocks and heroes are perverted. They only live for the physical. I'm going to make a statement here, make you mad, hopefully. Global warming people are perverted. There's no science to support it. Just this last week, they said they think we've now gone from global warming to where we might hit the next ice age. I just think it's funny. Oh, you can't have plastic bags. They don't decompose. And it's going to ruin the earth. Where did they get the materials for the plastic? From the ground. Guess what? It's not going to kill the earth. Now, hang on for a second here. We're not all going to die of heat, just so you know. It's amazing. They go to the South Pole in December and say, look at all the ice that's melting. Look at the polar bears, they're swimming. People, can I tell you something? Seasons are opposite in the southern hemisphere than they are the northern hemisphere. December here is summertime in the southern hemisphere. And it's amazing, Al Gore for the last 3 years has gotten stuck in the ice in his boats in the summer at the Antarctica. But we've got global warming. They sent three ships after one and all three of them got stuck. But we have too much meltage. Can I tell you something? The world's been here for about 6,000-7,000 years. It's okay. I better hurry up. Number two. And by the way, just because you cut a tree down doesn't mean the world's going to end. Now, I think we ought to be good stewards of what God gave us.
Yes, sir.
I think we ought to take care of what God gave us. I think we ought to keep things in check. I agree with that. But I don't think that we ought to be perverted and that's all we live for.
Right.
Number two, God wants you to enjoy the mental life. Did you know I think you ought to use your minds?
Yes, sir.
Television will numb your mind.
Right.
Your computer will numb your mind.
Yes, sir.
Your stupid little games on your phone will numb your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry if you play games on your phone. I'm not preaching at you necessarily. I don't play one game on my phone. Number one, I don't have time. Number two, I've never figured those stupid things out. What's that Candy Crush or something like that? I never have figured out the whole purpose of that stupid thing. You say, that's so many years ago, preacher. I don't know any of these dumb games. You say, why? I've got more things to do with my mind than that. But I'd rather have you doing something like that than not doing anything at all.
Yes.
But what happened to reading a good book? Now, I don't read fiction books. I don't think they're sinful necessarily. Some of them are. But I just don't read something that's not true. I read a lot of biographies and a lot of historical type things, but that's just me personally. Let's learn to read. America does not read. And by the way, I'm for getting an actual book that has pages and you open it up, not that you pull your phone out and scroll through and start reading it. Well, I have iBooks. Well, I read books with my eyes too. but I mean actual books. You say, well, that's just so outdated. Might be, but it'll do you some good. Promise you. Boy, that's a good statement. God wants you to enjoy study. Do you know that you're supposed to study that book right there?
Yes, sir.
My Bible says, study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants you to learn how to study. I enjoy studying. I study more than just the Bible. And when I study the Bible, I study many different topics all at the same time. You'd be surprised how many times I'm pulling out geography books. I'm pulling out topography maps. And I'm studying maps of how far is it from this place and the topography, putting it with the Bible. I'll pull out cultural books and find out the culture of the day and those types of things. Say, what is that? That helps me help you understand what was written when it was written.
Yes, sir.
And why it was written. By the way, and it applies to you. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know, listen to this word, God wants you to meditate, not levitate, but meditate. God wants you to think. God wants you to think about what you read, what you hear, what you study. And there are times that you just need to get alone and learn how to think.
Yes.
Do you know the average person in America today cannot stand to be by themselves? Turn the radio off. Turn the CDs off. Turn the iPod off. Turn everything off and sit there and think for a while. Some of you would go nuts in 30 seconds. Some of you, after 60 seconds, it's way too long. The word meditate, thinking about a truth and digesting it. It has the connotation of a cow chewing its cud. It's gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered, and then it gets alone by itself for a little while. Pardon me. But burps it back up and chews it a little bit more to get the nutrients out and swallows it. God says, I want you to gather information and gather truth. And then I want you to get alone for a while and meditate on it and get everything out of it that you can get out of it. That's what meditation is. And I've got to hurry. God wants you to enjoy writing letters and books, not blogs. We live in such an instant society. I'm not against texting. I use it a lot. It is an easy form, but by the way, that's not all I write. Did you know that it's not wrong? I've been married 27 years. It's not wrong to write a love letter to my sweetheart. Do you know every once in a while I write notes to my daughter? Say why? Because I love them. I want them to see my handwriting, not just a text. Everybody doing all right?
Better
move on. It's getting a little quiet in here. So God wants you to enjoy the physical life. God wants you to enjoy the mental life. God wants you to enjoy the spiritual life. Did you know God wants you to enjoy praying? Listen to me. Prayer isn't as hard as we make it out to be. Do you know what prayer is? Talking to God. That's all it is. Now, I think there ought to be times when you get on your knees before God, close your eyes, and pray. I have no problem with that. But I hate to tell you something, about 98% of my prayer is not done that way. I pray while I drive. God, get these idiots off the road. I pray while I'm working. I pray while I'm walking. I was here early this morning. I was doing some things. I was praying out loud as I was walking around and talking. I've been at every part of this auditorium praying for every person sitting in every chair this morning, asking God to help you get what you need today. Can I tell you something? Been through every Sunday school classroom and every chair in those rooms for the children and in the nursery. I've been in all parts of that so that I could get God's blessing on this place as much as I possibly could. And by the way, it wasn't some, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do experience. Just so you know. Prayer, honestly, started as a work relationship between God and man. When man was doing his work on the earth and got stuck, he said, hey, God, I got a question. I need you to help me with this. And they began to talk. And every day God met with man, and man asked God questions of the whys and the hows of the earth working so that he had a better understanding of it the way God intended. That's all prayer is. So I have a hard time praying. Why? Is all you got to do is talk to God like you talk to everybody else? Do you know I tell God jokes? Now, some of you shouldn't tell him because you don't know good jokes. But there's times I'll hear something and I think it's funny. So I'll say, God, did you hear? Yeah, I heard a long time ago. I know, but I thought it was funny. You say, you tell God jokes sometimes? Bible says that God laughs. Sometimes I think he's laughing at me for being so silly. But I enjoy it. I think God laughs when I scare my mother and she about jumps off the chair. I think he laughs every time. And I'll say, rapture practice. No problem. Did you know you're supposed to enjoy church?
Yes.
Now, doesn't mean every time I'm going to hit a home run. Sometimes I strike out. I understand that. But there's something here for you to get. The truth is truth. Do you know you're supposed to enjoy good music? Good music. If you were here last Sunday night, when the tour group was here, you had good music.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the contemporary junk. I'm talking about good old-fashioned music.
Yes.
Let me say this. God wants you to enjoy him. When's the last time you enjoyed God? See, that sounds kind of strange. No. God made you for you to be pleasurable to him. Guess what? He wants to enjoy you. And if he's enjoying you, you'll enjoy him. I promise you. When's the last time you looked at God and said, God, are you going to have a good day today? What can I do to help you have a good day today? Could I help somebody today that would give you a good day? And we should enjoy the things of God and God. Fourthly, and I'm done, God wants you to enjoy eternal life. He wants you to enjoy your physical life. He wants you to enjoy your mental life. He wants you to enjoy the spiritual life. But he also wants you to enjoy eternal life. Now watch this. That means this. To enjoy eternal life, you have to be saved. You have to know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Can I tell you something? The lost world does not enjoy eternal life. When you die, your spirit, your soul, has to go forever somewhere. Either heaven or hell.
That's right.
There's no in between. And you're not getting out of either one of them.
Amen.
Wherever you go, you go. Because that is the life form with which you have chosen in your life. So somewhere between the day you're born and the day you die, to choose eternal life, you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you've chosen eternal death.
Amen.
I didn't say it. God did.
Right.
And by the way, you say, well, how do I get it? It has to be born into you. Because you can't change from one life form to another. And you have to have the genetics of God. You say, how do I get that? By realizing you're a sinner. Realizing the penalty of sin is death and hell. And that Jesus Christ came and paid the sin debt for you with his own blood. Watch this. With his blood.
Amen.
Do you know where the DNA is transferred from? The blood.
Amen.
And when you get saved, God puts his blood on your account. And you actually get the blood of Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God rebirths your spirit. John chapter 3. And you then become regenerated, redeemed. And you then get eternal life. That's why in John chapter 3, we're in John 10. Turn to John 3. I'll show you something. Sometimes you wonder why God puts certain words in the Bible. Look at verse John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to me. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse to verse, eternal life, then everlasting life. By the way, these are God's words, not man's words.
Right.
He said, I've made it to where you can enjoy the eternal life here on earth as well as in eternity, but I'll give you everlasting life when you get saved and the availability to eternal life as well. He said they're both available to you. Notice one's eternal, one's everlasting. If you look at verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then it goes back and forth between eternal and everlasting. Eternal and everlasting, because they're two different things. One is an amount of time, so to speak, and the other is that quality of life. You say, how do we get it? By trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. You can no more get to heaven by your good works or getting baptized or joining this church than you can getting a plant to turn into a dog. Say why? Because it doesn't have the ability to change life forms. You need the DNA to match. And the only way to get spiritual DNA in your life is to accept what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. And when he died, shed his blood for you, was buried, resurrected, and put his blood on the mercy seat for you. The moment you trust that to get you to heaven, you have the eternal genetics of God placed on your life, and you'll never die. Now, your body will die, but guess what? You don't have to. Your spirit doesn't have to die and go to hell, because you've accepted what God did, and you were born with a spirit then. It was reborn in you. It was dead by sins and trespasses. It's reborn by salvation. Watch this. You can't be unborn.
Right.
That little baby, Brother Stoltz, may be in heaven already. But can I tell you something? It was born. It may have died, but it was still born. And it can't be unborn. I'm 49 years old. I can't be unborn. There's days my dad wanted to take me out. I got it. This was funny. We were at a steakhouse the other night, and we went to Baltimore so Mindy could see the tour group, and Brandon was playing piano. We took him out to a meal, and the manager come walking by, and he said something about how was everything, was the server okay, and we said, yes, yeah, she was fine. He said, if not, we'll take him out to the woodshed. And he looked at my daughter and Brandon and said, you know what the woodshed is? Brandon wisely said, yep, that's where Dad took us to get whipped. He said, wow, young people that know what the woodshed is. He said, good answer. He was shocked that somebody actually knew what it was. He thought he was going to teach him something. They were teaching him something. He looked at me and said, man, they've been trained right. I said, mm-hmm. Obviously, they've been there before, too. And he just laughed, and on he went. Oh, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to enjoy life that way. We're supposed to enjoy eternal things. Can I tell you something? You better learn how to praise now, because you're going to praise forever. Some of us have such a hard time praising because we're so wrapped up in ourself. Did you know once you get saved, it's easier to wrap yourself up in Jesus?
Amen.
And praising other people? Not worried about who gets the credit? God wants us to enjoy fellowshipping with the saints. Everybody, listen to this statement. That Christian you hate, you're going to have to live forever with in heaven. I promise you, I'm a lot of things that are bad. I can give you a list of sin bigger than you can. But inside there, I don't have any hate towards any Christian or any human being on the face of this earth. I don't care what they've done. I don't. Now, I may not spend time with them. I may not fellowship with them. But may I say this? When we get to heaven, the sin nature is dropped and it'll be okay.
Yes.
I'm not against them. Some of you live with bitterness and hate and anger. Can I tell you something? You better learn how to get rid of that. You better learn how to get along with each other. It's going to be a long life. Eternity's forever. I mean, I hate to think about it, but God might put Fred right next door to me. Yeah, that'll be fun, though. I could aggravate you for eternity. Yeah, buddy. He's only been saved for 6 months, but it's been an eternity for him. Oh, my soul. Can I tell you something? God wants you to enjoy love.
Yes.
Did you know we're supposed to enjoy the love of people? Can I tell you something? I enjoy every expression of love by every human being that ever expresses it. From the little children on Sunday nights when they come by and say, "Preacher, Skittles." That's an I love you.
Yes.
I love it. To the little bus kid that jumps off the bus this morning and looked like they were having a bad day, and I grabbed their arm and said, "Hey, you're not allowed in there unless you smile." Happened to be a little boy, and I said, "Man, you're so ugly, you better smile fast, because it's good." He looked at me, I said, "I know what I'm talking about, I'm uglier than you are," and he starts laughing. That's an expression of love. Teaching them how to enjoy a little bit. Do you know, I enjoy hearing my wife say, "I love you." I enjoy hearing my daughter say it. She didn't say it anymore to me. No, I'm teasing. But can I tell you something? I enjoy saying it. I enjoy doing things for the people that I love. Now, I think we have to be appropriate with how we do it. I was able to, my some of you men were able to help me with helping Rhonda a little bit. Rhonda climbed up on that stupid roof and is 150 degrees up there cleaning your spouting out. That was a way to say we love you. The bunch of you ladies took her out for her birthday this week on Thursday. Her birthday was Wednesday. And I will not tell you how old she is. You'll have to ask her. Because I love Rhonda and I'm not going to tell on her. But she is older than me. Can I tell you something? That's a way to say I love you to somebody. It's those little expressions that sometimes we forget. Can I tell you something? We need to learn how to express those things because we're going to have to live with each other for eternity. And love is forever.
Yes.
It really is. Can I tell you something? Soul winning lasts forever. You know, each and every person you give the gospel to and they trust Christ as their Savior, it lasts forever.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room ought to do something that's going to last forever.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to make my mark in life. I want to make my mark in eternity. I really do. This life is way too short. Last night I called my grandmother, 98 years old. I said, "Grandma, how you doing?" She said, "I'm a bit upset right now." I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be fun. She said, "I'm a bit in a dither right now." Now, when grandma uses that word, somebody's about to get it. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "When they made my bed, they tucked in the wrong side, and I can't get the sheets out." Well, bless her heart, at 98, she doesn't have enough strength of heart to pull on them. I said, "Grandma," I said, "can you call one of the nurses to come help you?" "I guess I'm going to have to." I said, "It's okay. That's what they get paid to do. It'll be all right." She said, "I just don't like doing it." I said, "I know. But it beats you falling down and getting hurt." I said, "They'd rather pull the sheets out than pull you up off the ground." She said, "I guess so." So we talked for a little while. I said, "Grandma, when you hang up, what are you going to do?" She said, "Call somebody to help me." She wasn't real happy about it. I said, "Good." I said, "Just remember something." I said, "What?" She said, and I said, "I love you." She said, "Thanks for calling." Every week of my life, I call her. I got her focused on the love and not the stupid sheets. The sheets are temporary. Love's forever. Amen? God wants us to have life. And He wants us to have it more abundant. So many times we focus on one part of life. We focus on making money and we forget everything else. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money. But making money and not loving people, not enjoying the mental things of life, as well as the physical, financial parts of life, is perverted. Enjoying just the mental part of life, and as all you do is sit in a room somewhere and read 20 hours a day, isn't healthy. You got to get out and enjoy the physical parts of life as well. But at the same time, I've met people that everything in life If you're not doing something for God, you're not right with God. Bless God. Well, can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with me going out on the golf course every once in a while. Now, I don't enjoy it. Say why? If you've seen me golf, you'll know why. But at least I get to take a long walk, longer than most. Wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with that. We've got to keep it balanced. And God says, I want you to enjoy life, and I want you to have it so that you have it more abundantly. He's given us all these things for us to enjoy. And yet we cheat ourselves and we pervert our lives. We push God out to enjoy just one or two parts of life. God said, if you want it and enjoy it all, let me show you how to get it. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And by the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again. He won't force you. God's not going to force you to live any certain way. God does not come down and grab a hold of you and say, bless God, Brother Stoltz, you're going to enjoy praying. Get down there. And you stay there for 3 hours. All right, you can get up. God doesn't do that. I'm glad God didn't, because if God did that to me, I probably wouldn't have taken it real well. By the way, I didn't push him down. Listen to me. God doesn't force you to do that. Just like I don't force my wife to love me, because then it's not love. I don't force my children to love me, because then it's not real love. I don't force you to love me, because then it's not real love. God said, but if you want to enjoy it, you're going to have to appropriate it yourself. But can I tell you something? If you do, and you get it enacted in your life, you won't go back to living the other way. You won't go back to drinking, barfing your guts out. You won't go back to the drugs. You won't go back to the immorality. Why turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?
Right.
The drug addicts are bound to the physical. The alcoholic's bound to the physical. And his life is perverted. Her life is perverted by that. Can I tell you something? Jesus came so we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I promise you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right, we've got some little ones, but let me ask you this. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon, something I need. Been going through some hard times, had some tough circumstances, but there's something in that sermon that I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you raised your hand, you come, kneel at this altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized, I'd like to join our church. Not gonna fool you. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church, King James only. We'd love to have you join, but you don't have to. You're welcome here anytime.